Pull up that first slide. I have a confession to make. I skipped work this morning, and I went mushing. A lot has been made of the fact that First Pres once again has a mushing pastor. It's been a joy to be a pastor and to be a musher, if I'm perfectly honest. My name's David, in case anyone doesn't know. I'm the pastor here. I have been for about 2.5 years now. And I was a musher before I was a pastor, but I was a Texan before I was an Alaskan. And this month marks my 16th year in Alaska. One day I'll have more years in Alaska than in Texas. We're getting close. Mushing was the perfect way to get outside and to explore Alaska in the winter. It's beautiful. It's fun. It's certainly challenging. Today we had a downed spruce tree. We had incredibly heavy snowfall so that we were breaking trail almost the whole way. And we had, of all things, 8 inches of open water in a creek crossing, which boggles my mind as it's been 30 below for about a month straight, right? I don't know where all that open water came from. It wasn't even like the yellow overflow water like normal. It was kind of clear and blue, but the dogs made it through and so did I. Mushing and just life in Fairbanks this time of year, it really is that winter wonderland. We get to live the life that a lot of people, a lot of Americans certainly, when it comes to Christmas at least, dream of, but never see or experience themselves. What they don't see is the 30 below, car won't start moments. And just like with that, there's also with mushing, I like to post pictures and videos on social media about mushing, and it's usually the dogs looking good, it's usually beautiful outdoor scenes. What it's usually not is what most of mushing is, or at least most of owning enough dogs to go mushing is, and that is, we can go to the next slide, Paul, I don't know if my remote's working. Most of it is, this is Mua, one of our older dogs. Most of it is mud and shoveling poop and things like that. It's the daily chores. It's getting the dogs fed. It's a lot of poop, if we're being perfectly honest. It's hard work. It's cold fingers. It's lots and lots of poop. Why is David talking about this? Is he still just bragging about mushing? No. This has a very strong connection to our message today, to our word today from Scripture, our word today from God. Because if we go to the next slide, the birth of a child, any child, really isn't that different. We clean them up. We post pictures of them after they've been dried off and ready for their close-up. But we don't always realize how messy childbirth can be, how dangerous and painful, how much of a struggle. And of course, after the child is born, much like with raising dogs, with raising children, there's lots and lots of poop. The Christmas message is one of incarnation. It is one of God stepping down from heavenly, infinite, and eternal places to be not just for us, not just with us, but fully one of us. It is the God of the cosmos to enter into the life of a messy, bawling infant. And yes, that includes some poop. What does it mean for God to be incarnate? The Bishop of Constantinople and one of our great theologians of the 4th and 5th century, John Chrysostom, said this. This is one of the first Christmas sermons we have in the church. He said, "What shall I say to you? What shall I tell you? I behold a mother who has brought forth. I see a child come to this light by birth. The manner of his conception I cannot comprehend. What shall I say? And how shall I describe this birth to you? For this wonder fills me with astonishment. The Ancient of Days has become an infant. He who sits upon the sublime and heavenly throne now lies in a manger. And he who cannot be touched, who is simple, without complexity, and incorporeal, now lies subject to the hands of men. He who has broken the bonds of sinners is now bound by swaddling cloths, infant bands. But he has decreed that ignominy shall become honor, infamy be clothed with glory, and total humiliation the measure of his goodness. That vulnerability speaks to our reality today. We don't like to think of ourselves as vulnerable, but of course we are. Maybe some of you got glimpses or flashes of that vulnerability trying to navigate snowy roads on the way here today. For the immutable, invincible, immortal, and omnipotent God to be born as an infant who is dangerously vulnerable to all the things that we are all vulnerable to. Maggie's reading of Isaiah touched on that briefly. The prophet Isaiah is witnessing the destruction of the northern kingdom of Israel and understanding that this is not the end but the beginning of the people of God's woes, as Assyria and Babylon and others who are better than Israel and Judah at the game of empire come rolling through, demolishing and burning cities, people, even vulnerable infants. And so the prophet says, with a glimpse of the coming Messiah, that all of those raiders' cloaks, all of those boots of conquering soldiers will be added to the cleansing fire. A day will come when this cycle of sin, of hurting someone because they hurt us, of being subject to people with far too much power and far too little humility, those days will come to an end. And instead, we will have the only one who could possibly be a true and good ruler, a King of Kings, a Lord of Lords, the one who loves us enough to make himself vulnerable to all of those same things, all of those same things of sin, even to the point of the cross, that we might be redeemed, that we might have a new way to know God, to know his love, and to love one another today and for all time. That's a little bit of what it means for God to be incarnate, and a little bit about the way that God chooses to be incarnate, to be one of us and with us. I'm going to borrow again from John Chrysostom as he preaches and says, I see a strange and novel mystery. Shepherds sound all around my ears, not piping a barren tune, but singing a heavenly hymn. Angels are singing, archangels are dancing, the cherubim are hymning, the seraphim are glorifying. All are celebrating, since they see God upon the earth, man in heaven. I see the one who is on high lower because of his plan, the one who is below, that is us, on high because of his love for humanity. Today, Bethlehem resembled heaven. In place of stars, it received angels hymning. If you could go to the next slide, Paul. In place of the sun, it contained the righteous one. Without confining him, And do not ask how, for where God wills it, nature's order is overcome. For God willed it, God had the power, God came down, God saved. All things follow upon God. Today, he who is born. And he who is becomes what he was not. For being God, he becomes human, though he did not cease from being God. For he hasn't become human by separating from his divinity, nor again has he become God by advancing from a human. But being word, because he could not suffer as word, he became flesh, his nature remaining unchanged. But when on the one hand he was born, the Jewish leaders denied the strange birth, and the Pharisees misinterpreted the divine books, and the scribes spoke what was in opposition to the law. What's most powerful to me about our scripture reading today is the way that the angels find and speak to the shepherds. The shepherds are kind of like, I don't know, I think mushers are kind of like the shepherds of Fairbanks. They're the ones who are outside a lot of the time. They're the ones who are working and dealing with a lot of poop. They've got cold fingers on nights like this. And we can all connect with that, whether you work outside in the winter here in any way, shape, or form, or just walking to your car on a cold night like this. It's enough to resonate with those shepherds who are keeping watch of their flocks by night, who have those cold hands, who long to see the sunrise, the change of the shift, the opportunity to go to a warm place and rest again. Because it is to those shepherds that the hosts of heaven, the heralds of the Lord God, choose to come. Not to kings, not to scribes, not to those with power and wealth and influence, but to regular folks who are struggling to get by. These are the ones whom God has decided to share this good news of great joy, which is for them and for all the people who trust in the Word. The shepherds are the ones who go, understanding that this word is for them and that there is an opportunity here and now to go and see what God has shared with them and chosen to privilege them with. We have an opportunity to encounter God here and now in a way that the powerful, the influential, and the wealthy have not heard. We have an opportunity to shed whatever power and wealth and influence we have that keeps us from hearing God's word, trusting in God's word, and like the shepherds, going to see God with us, to sit and adore him. Paul, if you could go to the last slide. It should just be one more. This is what Christmas means for us here and now. That we have a God who loves us, that we have a God who knows us, who knows our needs, and is willing to not just become one of us, but to become vulnerable. Vulnerable as a baby. Sometimes a stinky baby. To become so vulnerable that he would die on the cross and rise again to defeat the enemies that we cannot defeat and to show the world that there is a better way than the cycles of sin that we have perpetuated while also being trapped in. So how do we receive all that God is pouring out for us? Well, if you'll notice in the language that the angels speak to the shepherds, it is God who is doing all the work. God has accomplished this. God has sent his messengers to us. All we have to do is go and see. That is so much of how this works. God comes to us. God loves us. God makes his love known to us. It's up to us to respond with joy, to trust in what God has done, to trust in what God has said, and to sit in the presence of the Lord, in the light that comes into our dark world, to adore him, to trust in Jesus, and to reorient your heart, your mind, and your soul around him. In just a few minutes, we'll have some more special music, and after that, the lighting of the candles. It's a beautiful metaphor, the lighting of the candles, because it's exactly how faith works. Faith doesn't always make sense. It doesn't always follow all the expectations or the systems and the rules that we have for life. Sometimes we receive it from the person next to us. Sometimes we receive it from parents and mentors, from friends and neighbors. Sometimes when we don't have enough hope to face the coming day, the coming week, the coming year, we borrow a little hope from the people next to us, from God's Holy Spirit at work, and the people that he has placed in our lives. Sometimes we're the ones who are able to trust, who are able to go and do the things that encourage the people around us. And we share a little bit of the light that God has given to us. But whether we are the ones receiving in that moment or we are the ones giving in that moment, the light begins here with God coming to us, being the light in our darkness. May we be so bold as to stretch out a candle and to grow and magnify that light. Amen.